Hello, I am Matthew Till, and we are just a few days away from the Serials event. And this is the last preview edition of Machinery Matters and Arable Chat. We've got a few last minute interviews for you before the show kicks off Tuesday. And don't forget, it's not too late to get 50% off your pre-booked tickets. You just need to book them by the end of Monday using links which you can find at either farmcontractormagazine.com or aafarmer.co.uk. Just search Serials events on either of those websites, you'll find the code that you're looking for. But let's jump straight in. I was lucky enough to interview Jill Hewitt. She is Chief Executive of the National Association of Agricultural Contractors, an organisation which is going to have a very, very big presence at the Serials event, including at the Drainage Hub, as well as various talks about health and safety and contracting in general across the UK. I was lucky enough to speak to Jill, so let's go to that interview right away. I'm joined by Jill Hewitt from the National Association of Agricultural Contractors, or the NAAC for short. How are you, Jill?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Matt. Yeah, good.
Good, good. And you guys have got a really big presence at Serials. You have had a big presence for the last couple of years, and it's the same this year, isn't it? You've got Drainage Hub and...
Yeah, we started off with the Drainage Hub a couple of years ago out in a corner, and I think we've got bigger and got more central, so that's really good. And it seems to have gained momentum. I think land drainage as a subject is gaining some momentum again. And so it's become more of interest. So we've got a really good range of speakers and stands for people to come and see.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. And what is it about the Serials event that makes it the ideal location for something like this?
I think we get, from our members' point of view, we get a really good mix of farmers coming in. It's in a good area for us this time. It's the right audience, I think, because we've got a mixture of your sort of regen type farmers and more conventional farmers. So it's a good spread. Mm. The audience, I think, particularly for our drainage members to be talking to.
Okay. And I know there's a big seminar program linked to the Drainage Hub, but before we go into that, as people come into the kind of Drainage Hub in that centre bit, what will they be able to see?
So we're expecting we're going to have some big machinery to start with, which is always exciting. Yeah. We've got a drainage trencher coming in, and I think we've got a gravel cart as well, and some other bits and pieces of kit that people are bringing in. Which will be a bit stressful on Monday when I try and squeeze it all in, but that's fine. So there'll be kit, and there'll be lots of experts around who can talk to people about drainage, potentially putting in drainage, you know, or the benefits or not of drainage and how it might work for them.
Okay. And you mentioned that it seems to be growing, like people are talking about drainage more. Why do you think that is? Is that like the greater focus on soil health and things like that?
Yeah, I think so. We recently did a land drainage demonstration for DEFRA and the Environment Agency, for example, and that particularly focused on soil and the benefits of drainage and how we can, I think there's also more of a focus on water management in that with climate change, we're getting either a lot of water or no water, it seems. So we perhaps need to better manage that and make sure the water capacity in the soil is, we've got all that right, and that water is doing the right things for the soil, you know, and that, and all of this links with the amount of organic matter in the soil. And I think as more people are looking at things like regen, direct drilling, and some of those types of farming, it's very difficult to work, to make that work without drainage. So I think that's increasing the momentum perhaps. And I think also, Matt, you know, sorry, I'll stop going on. But I think also a lot of the drainage systems that were put in probably 50 years ago with the grant system that was available at that time are now reaching the end of their lifetime.
Mm.
So there's certainly a maintenance and redevelopment issue as well, I think, at the moment.
So people are kind of finding out that these systems have worked wonderfully for decades, and now they're starting to see issues in the fields where the couple of problems are arising. So.
Potentially, yeah. And some of them can be resolved with maintenance, but some, potentially they perhaps need to look at a new system.
Okay. And obviously, most people who look at drainage systems will look to contractors for their drainage. The NAAC, you're not just going to be there in a kind of drainage capacity. You're obviously going to be there as an organisation, and people will be able to speak to you about what joining the NAAC means.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll be there to talk about drainage. We'll be there to talk to, yes, any potential members from any ag contracting business, and again to talk to farmers if they're looking at using contractors. So yes, we'll be there to talk to anybody really, Matt.
Talk to anyone. Good.
Yeah, exciting times.
And throughout both days, you've got a seminar program running at the Drainage Hub. I mean, you could tell us a little bit about that and who's going to be speaking, what's going to be happening.
Yeah, so that's, as you say, that's all within the Drainage Hub. So if people find us, they'll find that as well. We've got a mixture of speakers. So we've got a on the first day, we've got a student who's coming to talk about a project he's just done on the state of UK land drainage. So that should be really interesting to sort of set the scene. Then that's all new work. We've then got contractor who will talk about Tim Sissons. He's going to talk about what to think about if you're looking at putting a land drainage system in. So some of the practicalities and what farmers, is it suitable? What's the best thing for people to do? We've then got actually somebody slightly different this year. We've got James Alexander from Prime West, and he's going to talk more about soil and about the bigger picture, I suppose, how land drainage fits in, but also making your soil management work and how it's important that the two work together. And then we'll start to look at things as well, like where next with drainage, what's the future for land drainage, and what sort of things are coming. So we'll look at land forming. Maston Brook are going to talk about that with a contractor who's been doing a little bit of that. And then there are all sorts of things. Rob Burtonshaw, who is a Nuffield scholar, he's recently been out to the States and been looking at some of the work they've been doing. So he'll talk about some of that. So a real mixture, I think, hopefully, of the immediate present, what we can do now, and potentially the future.
And quite a mix of speakers as well, from theoretical all the way to people like Rob Burtonshaw, who's doing this day in, day out, and
Yes,
so.
a lot of it will be fairly hands-on type stuff, so we not out of reach type speakers, I suppose. So yeah, muddy boots type speakers, I suppose a lot of them are. But hopefully that'll give people at Cereals a more practical approach to for what they might be able to do on their own farm.
Yeah, even if we are hoping that our boots won't be muddy this time at Cereals.
Yes, please don't let them be. I want suntan cream this year, please.
And over on the story stage as well, the NAIC have a presence as well because Chairman James Bannister is going to be speaking, isn't he, on both days?
So I'm going to support James, and we're going to just talk a little bit about James's accident. Unfortunately, he lost an arm about 20 years ago. And I think it's really important that people hear his story. And it's quite, I think if you come along and listen, you will remember it. And I think that's really important. Just what we want to do is just make people think a little bit more. And we'll be giving away, it's very exciting, Matt. We'll be giving away key rings which say, I am vital to UK agriculture. And what we want people to do is put those on their tractor keys and remember to switch it off when they get out the cab. So yeah, hopefully it'll be sort of entertaining as well, but a really important one, I think, for people to come along and listen to.
I guess those kind of conversation around health and safety as well is something that you'll want to encourage when people come to your stand and speak to you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As the NAAC, we take safety management, I suppose. Health and safety makes it sound dead boring. what safety management quite seriously. Unfortunately, I'm going to a funeral tomorrow of a member, which is very sad. And we really need to stop this type of thing happening. There have been, I think, in the last 2 months, 8 deaths, which is quite scary. Nearly one a week. I think there's been about one a week, which is terrifying. So we're also at the moment running a campaign, you may have seen on social media, called hashtag Wear It and Share It. So we're going to have a quad bike helmet on the stand. We might even have a quad bike, but that's to be confirmed.
Are you going to drive the quad bike into the stand like you did
No,
on the no? Okay.
not like I've done on social media. No, you'll be pleased to know that I won't. But if I did, I would wear a helmet. And again, what we're trying to get across with that campaign, and we will be asking people to, if we've got this quad bike there, to sit on the quad and have their photo taken holding up this sign. And what we want people to be asking is, why wouldn't you wear a quad bike helmet? Not why would I wear one? Because unfortunately, again, there have been too many people killed because they haven't been wearing one. And for a lot of those deaths, unfortunately, it's unnecessary and it wrecks families. So we really want people to think, just think hard about what they can do to improve things.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's so two really kind of, well, multiple really important issues kind of being covered across the 2 days there.
And I think the other thing on the drainage area as well, in the afternoon, we're doing a couple of talks, less drainage relating, more contractor related, but about how to what you should be looking for if you're working with a contractor. So Matt Redman, our vice chairman, will be presenting on that subject. And we've also on the first day got Towergate coming to do a talk on insurance, which
Okay.
also sounds dead boring, but isn't, because it's how people can get their risk down and their therefore premiums, keep the premiums at a sensible rate. So quite, a real mixture of stuff, but
Real mixed stuff, yeah.
yeah. Should be good though. I'm as you can tell, I'm quite excited about it all.
Well, yeah, no, it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be a really good 2 days. And that idea of kind of finding what you should be looking for in a contractor, I mean, that fits so well with what the NAIC do about promoting professionalism, doesn't it? So,
And it's everything from looking at price and pricing a job sensibly all the way through to all the safety information. And it's also what a farmer, what you should look for if you're an employee at a contractor, but in reverse, what a contractor needs from the farmer to be able to do the job properly and safely. Lots to think about, I think, over cereals.
Yeah, definitely. So at any point over the 2 days, if people head to the drainage hub and the NAIC stand, they're going to find something interesting to talk about and hear about.
Yes, definitely. Yes, come and find us. It would be great. Yeah, we'd be delighted to see everybody.
Well, thanks for joining me, Joan. Like I said, looks like there's going to be plenty there for people to come see the NAIC and all the other companies who are part of the drainage hub of next week over the 2 days at Cereals.
Brilliant. We'll look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Our thanks to Jill Hewitt from the NAIC there for a brilliant interview. Plenty to see at Cereals next week, so make sure you head over to the NAIC stand 511. They're right in the centre of the drainage hub, and I have it on good authority that the drainage hub will be signposted across the site. So if any of that took your interest, please make sure you head over there, have a chat with Jill and the various people from the NAIC about whatever your contracting needs might be, whether you are a contractor yourself, looking for a contractor, or just interested in how drainage or better health and safety management might be able to help your business. Up next, we've got two interviews by John Swire. He was lucky enough to speak to Chris Guest of the LSPB, who'll be talking about everything that's going to be on their standard cereals, as well as Rosalind Martin from Bayer.
Hi, I've got Chris Guest with me now from LSPB, and They're also exhibiting at the show next week. And tell me, Chris, what are you excited about at the show this year?
Yeah, hi John. I think probably the most exciting thing for me is that we actually get the chance to engage with our customers again. We were first-time exhibitors in 2022, and we really enjoyed the sort of engagement with both pharma customers and obviously our seed trade supplier customers, distributors, and retailers. So it gives us an ability to raise the awareness of the company. I think probably when I joined the company in June 2020, LSPB as a brand didn't really sit front of mind with farmers, where they maybe would understand that with our competitors. And we've really looked to change that over that time. And cereals is a huge opportunity for us to do that. You know, we can showcase the brand, but then we can also show both our, you know, new material and give people the ability to sort of engage with stuff that they know of. So, you know, probably the thing that most people would know us for in recent times would be spring beans and our spring bean portfolio. The variety Lynx, you know, has about 70% market share. So we are known in terms of the product, and what we're trying to do is sort of bring that the combination of people together with the recognition of the brand with the products, but then also showcase what we've got for the future. And I think really there's an exciting portfolio from us. You know, we are involved in the break crops. So winter oilseed rape would be our biggest crop from both the LSPB perspective and our German shareholder MPZ, who sort of are operating in rapeseed globally. So that's our biggest crop, and you know, we've got some really exciting new genetics. But also on the pulses, which alongside my colleague Michael, who leads on the pulse product management, you know, they are certainly a crop that's been important, but are growing in importance from a sort of protein, UK homegrown protein perspective.
Excellent. And as you say, this is your second year, so you were happy last year with all that went on and everything.
I think just the ability to get out in the plots. You know, we all spend so much time sat in front of a computer or in meetings and one thing another, but actually to be able to get in front of growers and our customers, really showcasing the varieties, and they look really well, and the plots look really well again this year. You know, we're really chuffed with how the site looks. And therefore we can really showcase that material that we've got both now, and I think, you know, the really exciting thing is we can show some things for the future.
Yes, on that subject, have you got any new varieties in the pipeline that we can have a look at?
Yeah,
Or
so
talk
we've got a
about
few.
even?
Yeah, we've got some candidate varieties, some of which haven't yet got their full national listing, so we'll be under code numbers. But also things that are coming through the pipeline, probably 2 and even 3 years away. When I look at the rapeseed market in particular, we've got some really exciting genetics to follow on from our three that are right up there at the top of the new HDB list in Turing, Vegas, and Murray. And we've got stuff coming in behind that as well. And what we've got is material with, you know, extra traits for disease resistance. So we introduced the new R-gene resistance RLMS into the market a couple of years ago. We now have that featured in even more varieties. And we've also got a variety with the combination of RLMS and RLM7, which is currently in National List 2, which will be on show under its code number. Also in there, we've got new club root material. Club root, quite a hot topic at the moment, and certainly increasing in prevalence of the problem across the UK. You know, not just confined to where historically we'd seen it in sort of in the north, Scotland, and the borders, and across in the west, in places like Shropshire. You know, we're certainly seeing club root more widespread with tighter rotations and other brassicas in the rotation. So we've got some new genetics coming behind that in terms of varieties featuring the Mendel resistance, which we have in our variety Chrome, which is also on show and market leader in the club root sector. And then also there in the high erysic markets, for these the specialist oil markets, we've always had a big presence in that market, and we have another variety coming in there, which is in undergoing national list trials, which also features turnip yellows virus resistance. So we're always trying to move genetics forward, and I think that's, you know, that's the really exciting thing about cereals, is we get to actually physically do that and show people and get engaged in it.
Brilliant. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your time, and all it remains for me to say is see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you then.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hi, I've got Rosalind Martin with me from Bayer, and who have their usual presence at the show. And tell me, what's the big thing on the Bayer stand this year, Rosalind?
Hi, John. Great to see you. So I guess particularly from my perspective, the big thing on the Bayer stand this year is the Iblon launch. So there's been a bit of rumblings about it in the last few years and months, but we'll go really big and we're officially launching the product this year at the cereal stand.
Okay, and what does it do? What is it? I presume it's a fungicide, is it?
Yes, that's right. Yes. So yeah, it's a fungicide. And from our perspective, it's a groundbreaking new active delivering unrivaled broad-spectrum disease control. And that broad-spectrum part is really critical. It delivers really well across all the key diseases in wheat. So it's a really exciting new active.
Okay. And is that on the market now, or just about to go on the market? Or?
Yeah, so it should be available for growers ready for spring 2024. Okay. Regulatory approval, assuming that goes through. But at the moment, that's all looking very positive and looking like it's happening well in time for next spring.
Yeah, excellent. And the trials and everything are looking good?
Yes, actually. And just in the last few weeks, we started to look at some of the trials. And it's always a nervous moment seeing it again, particularly in a high disease pressure year.
Yes.
But yeah, it's really great to see that what we've expected of the active is absolutely coming true in the trials this year. So yeah, I'd really encourage anyone to go look at the trials. But yeah, particularly on the yellow rust, we're seeing that it has just got the edge on Benzoblinda flupa and Solatanol, and particularly over sort of Univoc and Revistar. We really see that sort of standout yellow rust control. And then also on the Septoria box, it's absolutely ticking that box compared to the other standards out there. So Univoc and Revistar is pretty comparable on Septoria. So yeah, very unique active that delivers really well on both those diseases, as well as a host of other diseases, including iSpot.
Excellent. Excellent. Anything else on the stand?
Yes, good question. There'll be a few other things on show. There'll also be some decal variety plots, and we'll be launching the findings of the decal establishment benchmarking report. There's also be some field view topics out there, getting ready to make most of your harvest data after harvest. And of course, the basis, the DeRosso trail. And there's also an Iblon game, so I'd really encourage you to get down there and have a go at the Iblon game. But most importantly, it's about the people. So the people on the first stand will just be really excited to speak to everyone and catch up with some old faces. Yeah.
And there'll be plenty of Bayer people on the stand available to talk to. And
Yeah, absolutely. We'll like to say hello to
them. Excellent. Well, I think that covers it all, doesn't it? Unless you've got anything else to tell me.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Really good to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Rosalind. That's very good. Thank you.
Once again, plenty to see on the agronomy side at cereals. Make sure you take the time to look around all the crop plots that are going to be there. As you're walking up and down the machinery aisles and looking at demonstrations and stuff, obviously those crop plots, they're the varieties, the fungicides, the crop protection chemicals that you will be using over the next few seasons. To round out this final episode of the Cereals podcast, before the event next Tuesday, I was lucky enough to speak to Simon Weaving of the Evesham manufacturer Weaving Machinery. He told me a little bit about the machines you'll be able to see on the stand and kind of how their machines fit into a low horsepower, easy to use system. I'm joined by Simon Weaving of Weaving Machinery. Thank you for joining me, Simon.
Thank you.
You guys are exhibiting at Cereals. It's the first time in a little while that you've been to the show, is that right?
Yeah, it's the first time we've been back at Cereals since 2019. We felt this year, after a big debate about going back, they've changed the location, so it's a completely new location. I think it's a better location. It's more in the middle of the country, so we'll get more people, hopefully, from the north of England, maybe into Scotland come down. And it's better link roads, I personally believe, than trekking the whole way across Lincoln and round to the old site. Not that there was anything wrong with the old site. But yeah, we thought we've got a few new machines that haven't been to many shows. So we thought we'd showcase those. So we're on our way back, which will be good. And we're looking forward to it next week.
Oh, brilliant. So good location. And I guess really the right audience for weaving machinery as well.
Yeah, I think there's a massive audience of conventional farmers, direct drilling customers, and low disturbance farming customers, which will attend serials to learn a bit. And we also like to learn as a business, because that's where we get off all our feedback and all our ideas from shows from, is customer feedback. So yeah, I think we'll see a wide range of people. It's been very dry, so let's hope the site stays dry, so we can get set up and have a good 2 days in the sun and have a good show.
Of course. And of course, the dry weather means hopefully everyone will be nice and ahead with their work and they won't have anything kind of stopping them from attending. So
100%, let's hope. even though we do need a bit of rain, seeing as it's gone from very wet spring to bone dry now, crops do need a drink. But hopefully it does come at some point and we don't get crops burning up like we did last year very, very quickly.
Oh, hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's a good job it's now a grassland show, really, because it'd be some brown old grass we'd be looking at.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned you've got quite a few new products that haven't... I guess you started doing some of the show stuff back in January, but now this is an opportunity to really see them in the summer and get them in front of that arable audience. Would you mind talking us through a couple of the products that are going to be on the stand?
Yeah, I think, we went to Llama in January. It's a good show, but I don't think we got a lot of audience from sort of the north of England and also the east, which I think serials will pull those type of people. And also they can, it's nice, hopefully it'll be nice and warm. Mm-hmm. We launched our Energizer, which is our tined cultivator with a V-ring press on the back at Llama. We've seen a good number of sales since Llama for it. We have done a number of demos throughout the spring, but I think there's still a lot of customers that may not have seen it that will see it at serials. It's a good show for that, being a tillage, shallow tillage cultivator. And also there's another number of machines that have either been revamped or new models coming into the line, like our new mounted 4 meter GD drill. It's a more affordable machine for the smaller farmer. We have always done it, but we've given it a relaunch, made it simpler. We've integrated the plastic tank that's on the Sabre tine into it, so it sort of streamlines our range a bit more. And also we've gone away from the hydraulic system that pressurizes the coulters to a nitrogen gas spring system, so it's more consistent into the soil and it's quicker to react if it hits a stone or goes over a bump. So that will also be on display as well.
Okay. And that nitrogen gas spring, I mean, when you say it in the context of the machine, it can sound like, I guess, quite a small component, but actually that's quite a unique point for the weaving broke, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've worked alongside a British manufacturer to bring them in onto our machines, which is working well. And it's just simple, and there's less components, less things to go wrong within a machine, and that's why we've really done it.
And the products are on your stand, they represent a quite neat, low cultivation, low horsepower system, don't they? Everything from your stubble rake through to the Energizer and then up to the drill range as well.
Yeah, well, the company motto is keep it simple. And that's what we like to do. We try and keep ourselves into the 200 to 200, 300 horsepower bracket. And also down in other ranges of machines, down even less horsepower than that, sort of 150. But everything is, we try and keep everything as simple as possible. mentioning a stubble rake, we first started making stubble rakes in around 1996. And up until last year, the design hadn't really changed. That is also something else that will be on the standard serials, that has had a completely new look. We've gone from a two-section folding system to a three. So the machine is more level and it distributes the weight throughout the machine better when it's going down the field. And just made it look a lot slicker. And also the whole chassis has been made out of tube, so it's a lot stronger. And it looks a lot neater.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
It's, and the tines have also now 250mm longer. So a benefit of that is the customers obviously get more wear out of the tines, but also you get more shattering effect to create a bit more tilt when the machine is working.
Oh, brilliant. So spreading out that straw and then getting a flush of whatever's in the field to
germinate.
Okay, brilliant. And just kind of one final question. Serial is obviously a massive show. There's loads of exhibitors. There's going to be loads of people there. Where can they find Weaving Machinery?
We are located on the entrance to the sprayer ring. Okay. And we are stand, I should know this, 714.
714. No problem at all. 714. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, Simon. I look forward to seeing you. Well, we're less than a week away now. So
yeah, setup starts tomorrow. Cut the grass and get everything polished. And we look forward to seeing everyone when they attend.
And that is it. That's the last Machinery Matters and Arable Chat episode before the Serials event. I'll be running around the show for both days getting comment from various other manufacturers, various other exhibitors about what the show is like, about what the crowds are like, and about what the response has been to their new products. So look out for a final special edition of the podcast after Serials is done. Until then, remember, it's not too late to use the 50% discount code. You can find this at either farmcontractormagazine.com or aafarmer.co.uk, or you can look into the description of this episode. You'll find it there as well. You can use that code until Monday night. Once you turn up at the gate, tickets are full price. I hope to see loads of you there next Tuesday and Wednesday at the Serials event. And until then, goodbye.